Okay, we're ready to go. Let's finish our Brisa. We're finishing up today. Today we're finishing up Sefer Omos. Last day of Sefer Omos. So we've gone to the last three psukim on page 376, 378. Okay, I'll read them very, very swiftly. The last three psukim, 376. Hine yamim bo'im nu'um Hashem v'nigash choresh v'akotzer v'darech anavim b'moshe chazora. Good days are coming, so says Hashem, and there will be an abundance of blessing. And we learn simply is that you'll be busy plowing all the way around. You'll be busy harvesting. We have to read the psukim backwards. You'll be busy with the koitzer, with the harvest, all the way until it's time to plow once again. There will be such an abundance of blessing. You'll be busy continuously harvesting your crop. And before you turn around, now it's time to start again. Same idea. You will be busy. Producing wine, pressing the grapes, stepping upon them, pressing the grapes to produce wine all the way until the beginning of the next season when it's time to plant new seeds. And then comes the next bracha that's going to be on the blessing of what we call, we went through all the mefarshim, Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash. Here is the fulfillment of the blessing of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'itifu hehorim osis, the mountains will drip with osis. Osis, according to some, means wine, juice, or it means honey. Okay, it means, as we say, it means devash to mayrim, according to the Malbim. V'chol hagvaos tis moigagna cholof. There will be cholof. There will be the hills with the sheep that will be pasturing on the hills. They will drip with milk. Now, one thing I want to point out, and that is that even according to the Malbim, who was the most explicit and says that the osis is the drash tamoirim, and the gevaos tismoigavnu, the melting of the hills, is milk, notice that the order is reversed. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael a blessing, Eretz Zavas, Cholov, first milk, and then Devash. And here it says first Devash, and then Cholov. So Haloi Davar, this is also not an insignificant matter, that the order of blessing is reversed. Again, Avraham Avinu, when Hashem promised the Avos, Hashem never made any mention whatsoever that the land will be blessed with Zavas Cholov Udvash. This was something new, as we discussed at great length last week. This concept of the blessing of Zavas Cholov Udvash and all that it encompasses is something new to Moshe Rabbeinu. And here, when we have a prophecy of this being fulfilled, it's fascinating that it's fulfilled in the reverse order. First is the osis, which is the juice, and the juice here we're assuming refers to the juice of dates. The juice of dates is the dvash tumarim, and then it says the hills, which is the pasture, the animals that are pasturing, they're going to produce milk, and the milk will drip down, and it will mingle with the honey that comes from the dates, and you'll have zavas cholav udvash, but in reverse order. Haloi davar, we have to think about that, the significance of this as well. Okay, then the pasuk Yudalit said, "V'shavti yeshuvus ami." Okay, I will return the captivity of Ami Yisrael. They will return. V'vanu odim neshamos v'yoshavu v'natu kramim v'shasu esinam v'yosu ganos v'yochlu espiyam. We did this all this week. Just review, and they will rebuild Eretz Yisrael, and they will enjoy the benefits of the land. U'netatim alad masam. We discussed the significance of being planted upon their land. V'lo yinosishu od. They will not be uprooted. Me'alad masam asher nasati lohem. And then the unusual conclusion, the personalization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of each individual, Amar Hashem Elokecha, whereas the Malbim says something very, very strange, this was the sign-off call. This was the sign-off call, like, okay, I'm hanging up now, and it's not, as we discussed last week, it's not to be expected that this should be included in the Pasuk. This is a private communication, the operator. Okay, you don't conclude in your communication, the discussion you have with the operator when you're trying to call long distance and you have to speak to the receptionist, or if you call the White House, so you don't speak to the president directly. You first speak to a receptionist, and they tell you to wait and wait and wait and wait. I'm sure many of you have the experience of calling the White House, speaking to the president. And you have to wait and wait until the president, when he wants to speak to you. Okay. Now, let's take a look first at some Amori Chazal. Okay, this is a very beautiful Amori Chazal because this winds down the Sefer back to page 377. Hinei Yomim Bo'im on the very, very bottom. Lekutei Shas on the very, very bottom. Hinei Yomim Bo'im Nim Hashem Nigash Chareish Bakotzer Lefish Amar Lohem Moshe Lishol Dvarim Koshim Techila. And this is a theme we had many times. The sign-off, the last words of a Navi are usually very positive because he doesn't want you to remember him as a mean person. A mean Navi only had nasty things and criticism and musr and toichacha. So he's going to end off with some positive words. L'fish amal mashla mashla lishol dvarim kashim t'chila nizeirav ulukhumi reshef. At the end of Chumash Dvarim, there's going to be pangs of famine. Mizei, what's the good word for mizei? I don't even know myself. Mizei means I think pangs. Okay, hunger pangs. Okay, that's the Meriri is the demons. And that's also Luchumi Reshef. Reshef is also one of the demons. Reshef is the name of a demon. And Luchumi, they will go to war. The demons will go to war against you. The letter Pesifis is always looked at a bad letter. Because all of the demons, the last letter of their name, their last letter, and their name always ends with a pay surface, an enpay. It's so funny. I was once talking to a rabbi, and I said the pay surface. So he stops. He says, "Where did you go to elementary school?" So I said, "Why?" He says, "You keep on saying pay surface." He says, "You know, there's nothing wrong." He says. That in the right wing yeshiva world they don't say that. They say the end of faith.
That's
the way I learned it as a kid. End was a Yiddish. It's a Yiddish
end,
or a,
yeah, that's Yiddish.
Yiddish. End of. I went to MTJ on the Lower East Side. And there I don't even remember what they told me there, but I think if I'm saying Soifis, it must be that my kindergarten, pre-1A, and first grade rabbi taught us to say a mem soifis. So he told me that's like a modern Hebrew. That's a modern Hebrew.
Did you learn Yiddish?
No, are you kidding?
English?
No, we didn't.
MTJ, I learned Yiddish, but a year before you, my rebbeim spoke Yiddish.
I learned any Yiddish, not in MTJ, not in Chaim Berlin, nothing. I never heard a word of Yiddish. My parents speak a fluent Yiddish. But my parents did not speak to us in Yiddish, so I don't know one word of Yiddish. I don't know a word of Yiddish. I don't know, my brother somehow, I don't know where he knows he can speak a fluent Yiddish. And for the life of me, I've... Yeah, but before he went to Lakewood, I don't know how in the world he can speak Yiddish. I heard him speak a few times, and he speaks like a fluent Yiddish. He speaks... My brother, where did you learn Yiddish? How did you pick this up? Wait, you went to the same school as me.
So it was purely in English?
What? Zero.
No, no.
In MTJ? MTJ in Chaim Berlin, Ivris, Bevris. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Are you joking? What? RJJ, okay. RJJ certainly. Before my time. Okay, these before. Okay, whatever it is. But here, the point I want to make over here is Reshef. We mentioned this pasuk, Reshef, it concludes with a pay soifis. Here's the angusa, pay soifis. Pay soifis is not a nice letter. That is why the letter pay soifis does not appear in the entire Birchas Hamazon. All of the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis, there are 22 regular, and then there's another five end letters. Soifis, go check out the whole Birchas Hamazon. All the letters, the 27 letters appear except for the pay soifis. Why? Because when you're giving Birchas Hamazon, represents the ultimate bracha, and it's not appropriate that this letter, which is associated with demons, should appear in Birchas Hamazon. There are other things, there are other examples of this. I don't remember now, but that's one example. And therefore, that's why Reshef, whenever you see these words, these three-letter words, it usually is referring to one of the demons.
The only reason it's considered bad because of the demons?
No, it's like a last name. The last letter, see, we don't appreciate this. We today you call a person by their last name. You're a teacher, so you know, you call the students by their last name. That's how you identify them, because the first names are very common, and everyone you have five Moshes in the class. In Satmar, you have 50 oils in the class. So you have to identify people by their last name. So the last letter of a many times is as significant as it being the last name. Just like we look at their last name is really who you are, so to the last letter of a name is very significant. So the demon's last letter is always a fey sophist, it's always a short list. All of these demons that end with a pay sophist is because the intensity of their identity is in the last letter of their name. And thus, this letter got a bad reputation. Got a bad reputation as being a dangerous letter, and therefore, we don't like to include it in different parts of a prayer liturgy where we're trying to bring out something positive. It's a very Kabbalistic concept. I'm just showing you though, because over here he talks about over here, this positive, Bizeh means pang. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it means pangs of famine. Uluchume reshef. So this is a very, very harsh statement by Moshe Rabbeinu. And then another pasuk Moshe says, Michutz tishakel cheref umechadorim ema. Outside the sword is bringing death. Shikul banim rachmanu litzlan is causing parents to be bereaved from their children. And umechadorim ema. And indoors there is terror. Uvechorev hiktzavtem. He mentioned in chorev you have angered Hashem. All the different complaints Moshe had against Klal Yisrael. Mamrim hayisem. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the entire Chumash Devarim are words of Musa. And he's going to leave the Jewish people, he's about to die, on a bad, sour note. And that's not a good thing. Therefore, the very, very end of the Torah, V'zois HaBerocha Asher Berach Moshe ends off on a positive note, Chazav Yamalachem Divin Nechumim V'zois HaBerocha Asher Berach Moshe. Umimenu lamdu kol neviim. Moshe was the Av HaNeviim. We say in the Animamins. Animamim b'munushlem shekol divrei neviim enes. And then we say Animam b'munushlem shedivrei shenevuas Moshe benu hoy samitis v'shehu hoy Av laNeviim shekoydim lefanav v'laboim acharav. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av of the Neviim. It's a very important. So what? This, I think this Likutei Shas, this Chazal, opens up for us a very significant, it may seem subtle, but I think there's something very, very powerful here in what the Likutei Shas is saying, what this Chazal is saying, and let us understand what we say in davening. And at the end of davening, those who say it, Halvai, there are 13 animamins from the Rambam, the basic principles of faith. And that we should really spend time one day going through that, because it's hard to find Svarim. I tried once to find Svarim on the animamins. A lot of it's hard to get a sefer that really, you know, you can use for a shir. You can say over it, and it's not very hard. But from the 13 animamins, two of them seem to be repetitious, and that is this wonderful animamin dedicated to the nevuah of all neviim. You have to believe that all of the prophets, their prophecy is true. That's only something you can have faith in. It's not something that you can prove. Doesn't that include within it the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe was a prophet, and all the prophets were prophets. So why then does the Rambam go and list as a separate item the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that his prophecy was amites, and he is the father of all of the prophets? Why is it necessary to break the two into two different parts? I don't have a good answer, but one...
Can I tell you what Yom Rabbeinu would say, what he does say, because he says in the opening to Avadia, it says, every word that Moshe spoke until tomorrow, when he gave him license to, you know, wax poetic or say what he wanted, he said only Mila B'Mila what God told him to say. The other Nevi'im, God gave them the Chazon, and it was up to them to express what God came to them in a vision to say. But But Moshe was amida. Moshe just said
straight
what God told him, and that's the pasuk. He says, "Vo Moshe lo on the way ledaber ito." He said what God spoke.
Right from the source, no filters. No filters, no manipulation, no interpretation, straight from the source. Okay, absolutely. But he's eating here a new element. And he's saying that that the other Nevi'im, even though they receive prophecy, their technique, their method was nuanced and it was patterned after Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone tried to copy the style and technique of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, it seems that a Navi had room to maneuver. Hashem gave a regular Navi maneuver. Now the question is, what should be my style? How should, you know, how should I go about this? So were they totally unique? Everyone just did whatever they wanted to do? So he's saying, no. They copied. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. They copied Moshe Rabbeinu. They copied his style, his technique, his method. That is why Moshe is called the Av. Moshe was the original. Everyone else was just a copycat. Everyone was just a wannabe Moshe Rabbeinu. They had Koyach of Nevuah, but their style was patterned after Moshe, who they looked up to. He's called the Av, the father. From him comes style and method. And that's exactly what he's saying over here. All of the Nevi'im, we find over here, all the Nevi'im, this I didn't have many times, they're coming at the end of their life, end of the Nevuah, to say some nice words. 90% of what the Nevi'im say is harsh Musar. It's not pleasant stuff. Okay, we know that. We're going through a lot of very, very frightening things. All of a sudden, when it comes to the very end, they start saying some nice words. Who asked you? We don't need your comfort. We don't need your kind words. We heard enough of you already. No, they're imitating Moshe Rabbeinu. Chumash Devarim, Moshe was critical, but at the end he smooths things over with some nice departing words. The Nevi'im borrowed from that also. He winds down with nice words. That's why Moshe is the Av. Could be also. So we're picking away. And who invented this principle? Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one, the inventor. We think, oh, it's just a standard thing. Nothing is standard. It comes from somewhere. This Chazal, it's a Sifrei Chazal, it gives the example of all of the Nevi'im, and then it comes to Amos and it says, look at the Pesukim. Remember that? He calls the Jewish people fat cows. Okay, put it over here lower, it's making an echo. What, it's too much of an echo? Okay, same thing?
Yeah, much
better. Better now? Yeah? It's your imagination. Okay. Alright, whatever. So it says over here, the Paras Habashan, he says harsh words. Who oppress the poor, who crush the destitute. They say to their masters, bring it on. They mock the prophets to such a degree and say, yeah, really? Okay, let it come. All of your curses, they have so no regard for what the words of the prophets, they even answer amen to all the curses. Okay, that's the ultimate sign of mockery. When someone gives you Musar, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And you say, Amen. You say, Amen. You're saying, yeah, let it happen. It goes to show that you really don't believe the person who's giving Musar. You have no respect for him. Havil, let it come. Vinisha, let us drink from your words. V'chazar, but then at the very end, V'chazar, v'am Elohim. After the Navi, he curses them out. And he tells them, you have no respect for Hulu. But the very end, Amma, what did Amma say at the end of the Sefer Amos? words of comfort. Period. So here we have this beautiful Maimon Chazal, Likutei Shas, telling us that these words are the words of Nechama, which wind down the Sefer. Okay, let's go look now at next Maimon Chazal. Next page 378. 378, the Shafti Yeshvus Sami Yisrael, I will return the captivity of my people. Boy Bayoim came the bracket, Shenismana Rabbi Elozab ben Azariah Lenasi, when he was appointed the Nasi, Bayehuda Ger Amoni Lifnehem Bebeis HaMedrash, and came into the Beis Medrash, Ger Amoni. What's the problem? Lo Yavoi Amoni Umoyovi, the Kahal Hashem, Adoilam. Amoin Umoyov are not permitted to come into Klal Yisrael because Asher Lekidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim, they did not give the Jewish people food, they were not hospitable to the Jewish people when they were passing in the desert, so they cursed Lo Yavoi Amoini Umoyovi. So the day when Elizabeth Nazari became the Nasi, when the Haggadah, Ha'areni Keben Shivim Shana, V'lo Ezechisi Sheti Omer Li Yitzies Mishraim Baleilois, Asher Darshu Ben Zoyma, what is Ha'areni Ha'areni Keben Shivim Shana? Chazal said he was 18 years old when he became the Nasi.
He identified as 70.
He says, why did Quebec? Because overnight my beard turned white. My beard turned white overnight due to why it turned white. Why did it turn white? Well, he was under stress. What stress was he under? Yet he had on his shoulders the whole Klal Yisrael. So it seems that it's very bizarre. It was a distinction to have a white beard. So it was a miracle for his benefit that people should respect him. And the way they would have respect is if he had a wife, a little 18-year-old kid, no one's going to have respect that he's the Gadol Hadar. But he had a white beard, and that white beard somehow, I don't know, somehow people thought he was older.
The Gemara doesn't say he was the Gadol Hadar, he was the
Nasi. Yichus, okay. But no, it seems like he knew stuff, and Elizabeth Azariah.
Yeah, whatever.
So he writes, so therefore he was 18 years old and became Nasi. And then right the day he became Nasi, he walks into the Beis Medrash, a person, and says, I'm a Ger Amoini. I want to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. Omar Lohem, he said to the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, Moni Lohavu Kahol. Omar Lohi Rabban Gamliel. Gamliel, who I think he was the one, he was ousted, he was the one that was pushed out. I don't remember, there was a whole fight. There's no politics, Rabbi Yisrael, like yeshiva politics. You think American politics is exciting. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Anyone knows the history of yeshivas, politics that goes on in yeshivas, it's shocking. So I think he was ousted because of the whole fight, the whole story there, whatever the story was. So Rabban Gamliel, the senior Rosh HaYeshiva, said to him, you're out. Amaloi Rabbi Yeshua says, Mutar Atoloi Rabbi Kahol, why? Rabbi Yeshua said, you are permitted. Why? Amaloi Rabban Gamliel, how can you say that? Valoi Kvar Nema Loyovoi Amoini Umoyovi Bikal Hashem. It's an explicit pasuk. Black and white. Black, is it black and white or black on white?
Black.
What is the expression?
Black and white?
Is it black and white? Is it an expression? Yeah, right.
Yeah, both.
There's an expression. I gotta go Google it. Yes, Google
black
Hadar.
Black and white. Black means no in between.
Black, no in between. Black on white means explicit in the pasuk. It's a verse, chapter and verse. Yeah. Okay, gotta Google it. Lo yavaya money moyavik al Hashem. Amalor Rabbi Yeshua. Amalor Rabbi Yeshua. V'chi amoy numoy b'mekayim chen yoshem. There are no nations anymore. That in our day and age, there's no such thing as a nation called Amon. There's no such thing as a nation called Moav. There's no such thing as a nation called Mitzrayim. There's no such thing as a nation called Bavel. Everyone is global melting pot. Everyone is all mixed together. The only one that is still unique, there's only one nation today that maintains their uniqueness. Klal Yisrael. Am Levadad Yishkoi. That's what it means. That was the bracha. That's really what Bilam said. Am Levadad Yishkoi. Yishkoi in Blashon Osid. They will always be Levadad. They will always maintain their uniqueness and their identity. Unlike, understand the contrast. It means simply, it means they live in isolation, live in a ghetto. Okay, they live, but that's not what it means. I mean, you can say whatever you want, it means many things. Yeah, but one of the interpretations is, Am levadad yishkoy means there's going to come a day when all of the nations will be submerged, will be synthesized into just one big ummah, the League of Nations. There's no difference, this nation, that nation, it's all the same. Global, we live in a global, we see today, we live in a global village. You can go walk within Dalamas, you can go to a Mexican restaurant, you can go to a Chinese restaurant, you can go to a Russian restaurant. Okay, I have a friend who's with Mashkiach in a Russian, a place where it's only Russians. To get in, you have to have a Russian kamat, a Russian passport to get in. They're only Russians. The food is Russian. Everything is Russian. Whatever you want. Today we live in Damash, in Dalai Lamas. Within Dalai Lamas, you have everything together. And only in America it's like that. Go to any country, it's like that. You go to Israel, Brooklyn bagels. What is Brooklyn doing right in front of the Kotel Maravi? Okay, what's going on? What's the idea? We live today in a global village. Everything is mixed together. There's no difference between America and this country. I mean, obviously, the difference is, but you understand what I'm saying? We're all together. But Klal Yisrael, Am Levadad Yishkan. They will always maintain their unique identity through the end of days. So this is exactly what Rabbi Yeshua said. Rabbi Yeshua says that he's mutalavah b'kal Hashem is because today no longer do we have nations. No one can say today can say that he is a Ammoni, he is a Moavi, and therefore since no one can, there is no such thing anymore as Ammoni because Sancheirev, he engaged in population relocation in order to settle, in order to humble people. They should not rise up and rebel against him. He made them uncomfortable. He relocated populations, and people would be busy with their own problems in settling in and making a new parnasa. They would not have time on their hands to make trouble and rebel against him. That was a brilliant technique, which works. If you're busy with your own problems, you don't have time to make trouble for someone else. Everyone is sitting in a state of peace and tranquility, and now there's a new king in town. Who are you? Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to go and demand tax money? But if a person is so busy with his own problems, he gets the bill in the mail, so he pays the bill, just like he pays the electricity bill, so he pays the tax to the king. You don't have time to go conspire and rebel. So this was a technique of kings in ancient times. That's what Sancheirev did on a global scale. And therefore, in the process of doing so, every nation lost their unique identity. So therefore, since they lost their unique identity, there's no such thing anymore today as an Ammoni Umayavi. And thus, the Osir, it says in the Pasuk, therefore he's Mutu Lover B'Kahal, when he says that he is a Ger Ammoni, those are just words. I converted. I accepted upon myself. I had bris milah. I went to a mikvah. I makabel all of the mitzvahs, and I had bris milah. I'm a full fledged ger, and now I want to marry a nice Jewish girl.
Why wasn't that the answer? It's already too late. He's a ger. Why is he being identified as an ammoni?
Excellent. So he asked a very good question. That since he's telling me over here, the Torah says, Lo Yavai Ammoni, in the olden days, when there was clearly a nation called Ammon, if a person would leave the nation of Ammon and come and knock on the door of Eretz Yisrael and say, I am joining you, we would say, very nice, you can join us, but you're not a Jew. You're not a Jew, we don't accept you, you cannot marry a Jewish girl. You cannot count it towards the minion. You cannot get an aliyah.
The question is, how did he become a ger? The process before he was interested in the
right, before it was officially sanctioned.
So there must have been it can mean many things. It can mean that it means he's trying.
Yeah,
a ger means a potential contract. It's a candidate. Don't take it literally. Don't take it literally that he already converted. There was maybe a renegade Bezdin which converted him. Or it means he's a potential. He has shown sincere interest in converting and joining Klal Yisrael. And obviously, even though it's true that the world has been all mixed up, he has a yichus brief. Look at my yichus. My mother, I can show you my yichus all the way back to the beginning of a Maisa Bereshis, I am a citizen of Amlin. So they say, so Rabbi Shua says, very nice. You have Yichus, you go all the way back, pure lineage, all the way back to Amlin. But that status no longer has any significance anymore in the modern world, because all of the nations have been bottled. All the nations have collapsed because everyone was relocated, and the authority of each individual nation no longer was demolished. Even though your yichus, your lineage, takes you back as a pure person from people who were the original founders of Amoin, it doesn't have today in Jewish law any significance. Sancheriv destroyed the Asir. I will remove Givulois, the boundaries, Amim, Vasudo Sehem, Sho Seisi. And it means their ropes I have cut. The Oirid Ka'abir Yoshim, I will lower the mighty. The Ka'abir means the mighty inhabitants. All of the mighty inhabit, the authority and rules of nations is bottle. The Chol de Parish, Meruba de Parish. And therefore, since you are coming to us, you are just one member of the entire world, and you don't no longer have a status of an Amoini, and therefore, yes, we accept you. You can be a full-fledged Jew. You're a ger. A ger is limited. You cannot marry a bas kohen, but you can marry anyone else, and your children will then be eligible to marry kohanim, and you're accepted. You can do whatever a regular Jew can do. There are very few things a ger cannot do. There's a whole shaila if a ger can be a rabbi. A ger, can a ger today be a pulpit rabbi? Sarara. Could he be a shul president? I never heard that shaila. But can a ger tzedek be a pulpit rabbi? Okay, interesting shaila. Pasha is not, but there are ways around it. There are ways around. Ever hear? Yeah, do you ever hear?
I know somebody who became a rabbi, but not a pulpit rabbi.
What do you mean? What kind of rabbi? What kind of rabbi did he become?
He got smicha. He's a ger, and he got smicha.
That's interesting. They gave him smicha. That's very interesting. That itself is very interesting. They gave him smicha because giving smicha, in a sense, is saying that you have authority.
He's very well accepted among the lot of rabbis. I mean, he's very well known in the Hasidic community.
This person. And they gave him smicha. Is a posek?
No. He lives in Canada now. He got married.
Okay, this is a topic for another time. It's a very interesting topic.
Excuse me, to say, no, you have more money. You look at him and him, Balechem, Mayai.
Yeah.
We had all the 40 years, months, and they were bare Mayai. And why Torah so tough? Against the Ammoni Moabit, that
this is a good question. This is a good question, but it's not on the topic. It's a good question. I like the question, but it's off the topic. It's off the topic. Okay, we'll ask questions on the topic, and we'll discuss it. Yeah.
I thought an Ammoni and a Moabit, if they become ger, if they become full gerim, but they just can't. The male just cannot.
Okay, that's a whole sugya. That is also a sugya. I don't know if it's a sugya. What exactly does it mean that a gera, Amoin Moavi, cannot join Klal Yisrael? Does it mean, can you be mitztaref them to a minyan?
Right.
But what then is the limitation? Who, yichus,
that he can't marry.
Can marry, but everything else,
right.
Full-fledged gera.
Like
is that the pshat? Maybe the pshat is Amoin Moavi, we don't even accept them as a Jew, and you can't be mitztaref them to a davrusha bekedusha. Question: it's probably machlokes rishonim. Okay, that's a topic in and of itself. But this here is a machlokes. You know, Bishurim Gamliel. Can we take the money? Can we accept the Klal Yisrael? And they're finding it out. And what's going on over here? So it's a chol davrusha beporish. I'm Gamliel. We'll sit back. Now here is the key. This is we learned today the pasuk, the rebuttal. Rama Gamliel, he just came back from the morning kollel, and he heard them say this pasuk, "V'shafti yeshvusami Yisrael." I will restore the captivity of the people, the shvus ami Yisrael. And what is supposed to say? V'achri chen v'alek far neman. It's a different part. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're going next. We'll read the words. This is from Yirmiyah. In Yirmiyah is a very similar pasuk, where it says, "V'shafti yeshvus b'nei amoin ne'um Hashem u'kvar shanu." Omar and they have already returned. In Yirmiyah, there is a prophecy the day will come when the nations will be restored. They will be restored after Sancheirev relocated all of the nations and created confusion, but things settled down and the nations came back and they rebuilt, and Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Gamliel said, if you look in history, take out a newspaper, you will see that this already has happened. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, I disagree with you. It's an amazing disagreement. There's a very similar pasuk in the end of Sefer Amos with the same exact word, Shavus. Shavus Ami, and here it says Ami Yisrael, not like what it says in Yirmiyah, the Shavus B'nei Amayin. And therefore it must be, since the choice of language is exactly the same, the two are linked to one another. And until we see the fulfillment of Shavti Shavus Ami Yisrael, then we do not accept that the Umma Yisraelam, that they have been restored. V'yadayin Leishavu, and the Klal Yisrael has not yet returned. If there is no fulfillment, if it has not yet happened, Shavus Ami Yisrael, then we do not accept as a given that the Shavus of the Bnei Amon has happened. It may look like it happened. It may look on a map. You may see there's something called Amon and Moab. There's an Egypt. There is a this country, that country. It may look like it on the map, but it's just a facade. It's not the real thing. The real essence of the nation, the characteristics of a nation, what makes them tick, is not for real. It will never happen until Klal Yisrael is restored. Miyad hitiru lovei b'kahal, immediately, who do they accept? The yeshiva, the whole yeshiva. They were listening to this lively debate between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, and who do they side with? Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel was defeated, and they accepted the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that there is today no such thing as a nation. And therefore, there's no such thing today as Amoin Umayov, and everyone today is accepted to enter into Klal Yisrael. And this is very powerful. Now, I'm just going to throw a couple of ideas over here. First of all, talk about Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany, many people will tell you, it's, if you wanted to talk Amalek, this is the real Amalek. They are the real Amalekim. We're now up to Parsha Zohar. Amalek. If not them, then who? This idea, every nation, we always like to say, there's musical chairs. Every nation, who is the Mitzrayim of this nation? Go learn Sefer Yeshayim, Mitzrayim, 100 times over. The world superpower, you would say, I mean, you have to be blind not to say that today America is Mitzrayim. I mean, you got to be, Rav Schwab says this 100 times. In every generation, there are certain nations that take on the characteristic of nations that are mentioned in Pesukim. In Sefer Yeshayah, Yeshayah is obsessed with Mitzrayim. And you read how he describes Mitzrayim, and you look at Western civilization today, which is led by America. Okay, they set the tone. They set the pace, America. Schwab says, what are you going to say, that America is not Mitzrayim? Go back 200 years, maybe you'll say it was the Soviet Union. Go back 100 years, it was Soviet. Every generation, you can look at different nations. This is the Mitzrayim. This is the Moya. This is the Amon. Every nation, there are certain defining characteristics of specific nations. And when you see in modern times, a nation takes on that characteristic and becomes part of their mantra, that they become that nation. Okay, World War II. You're going to say that Nazi Germany was not the Amalek, was not the heart of Edom? How could you not say that? And today, Germany, they're not even in the news. I mean, whatever. They're not a player on the world stage today that much. So, you know, who are we dealing with now? There are other problems. So this is something which is very, very interesting. This concept is an old concept. What are the rules of the Umay Sa'olam to define the Umay Sa'olam? This Chazal here, this Machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, brings out many critical elements in this discussion. Number one, there's no question about it that Sancheiriv, he destroyed the world order. There is no question that there was a restoration. And there is no question that Klal Yisrael has not yet been restored. So that when you take all these pieces of the puzzle, how does it all fit together? And there is no agreement. There are many ayin panim l'tar. There are many different ways to analyze this big picture. All of these different elements, how they all come together. And this is all rooted in this beautiful chazal. And the pasuk that we learned over here is a critical pasuk in the discussion. V'shavti yeshvus ami Yisrael. Has that happened yet? That has not happened yet. Okay, that Orthodox Jews, we don't accept. We're getting there. Medinas Yisrael is a big, big, big giant step for mankind in getting there. There's no question about it. You have to be blind not to say that. You got to be mamish. How can you not say that? But is there a Beis HaMikdash? I'm sorry, there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Do we have peace in the land? Sorry. The fact that there, I don't have to elaborate. There's more to go. There's more to go, and therefore it has not happened yet fully. And therefore, you want to go and look at the Ummah Yisraelim relative to us. It is a fascinating topic of discussion. Next, let's finish over here. Now we come to the last man mechazal. Unitatim alad masam v'lo yinasishu od t'v'emo v'sito emo. Okay, this is the pasuk in, we say every single day in davening in Oz Yashir. To the Emo, Hashem will bring the Jewish people into the land, the Holy Land. V'sito Emo, and Hashem will plant us. Hashem will plant them in the land, just like it says in our pasuk here, Unitatim al Admasam. So reading that in Oz Yashir, there is a reference that the Klalis for living in the land is not just called you're living in the land. It means you're planted. You take root. You need water to be nourished by the water of the land. Netia she'ein ba nesitza. It's a netia she'ein ba nesitza that there will not be an uprooting. Okay, in other words, there's different. There's a plant. There's sometimes a plants which you cannot uproot. They're so deeply rooted in the land. There's no way you can uproot. The roots go so deep and so far. There's no way it's humanly possible to uproot the tree. A netia she'ein ba nesitza. That does not have potential for uprooting. Shenemar uvenisem ha'al pasik uvenisem v'loy eros. I will build them and they will not be demolished. Unitatim v'loy etosh. Etosh and the word nesitza are different words, but they're similar. Etosh means they're not going to be uprooted. Un another pasik unitatim al admasam v'loy yina. That's the same. That's not also a different word. They will not be uprooted. So it really turns out, that anybody pay notice this, they're really three very different words. These are not the same words. Well, that's not so. Etosh and yinoshu is the same word. That's the same word. There are two words. There's nesitza, and there's the word etosh.
Don't leave.
Not to leave, to depart. Yeah. Not to be demolished. Yeah. To be demolished. Lo yitosh Hashem esamo. Hashem will not abandon. Abandonment. Netiyosh ein ba nisitza and unetatem v'loy etosh. Our pasuk says the word etosh. Right? V'lo yinoseshu. So yinoseshu l'chor is not the right word. The right word would be v'lo yinotsisu. Yinositsu. The tzadi.
It's referring to the first part.
Planting, when you use the word nitia, you would expect the word nisitza. Was that true? Not really either. Nisitza really means to demolish. I don't know the answer. In this context... Yeah. What's possible by the Mitzvah? The Kohen will come before they demolish the house. Bekara, what's the possible? Ooh. Wow, what happened over there? That means to demolish. It means to smash into smithereens. The smithereens. Okay, I don't know. In this context, it means it will not be uprooted. Okay, is that the literal translation of the word? L'chor not. It's a borrowed term. A borrowed term to shed light on this morning. Okay, That concludes the Ma'amar Chazal. Let's now go to the Mincha Gedoyla. Yes.
When Yitosh, I told it should be Bitet, not Bitov. Yitosh. Yitosh.
Hashem let abandon. Okay, it's the same word, different form. It's a different form of the word, depending on the context, the rules of grammar. You're right. Correct. You are correct. Let's look at the Mincha Gedoyla. We don't usually learn the Mincha Gedoyla, but here is a very beautiful Mincha Gedoyla. Let's go through it quickly. Okay, the Mincha Gedoyla begins a little bit back. You have to turn back to Bayoy Mahu. Let's start all the way back from there, going back a few psukim, but it all leads into one thing. Back on page 375, going back to the psukim number 4, Gesundheit. Bayoy Mahu on that day, Oke Mesukas Dabhanofela Sine Shloisha Hema Luvim Bagolus Ubishibun Malchias. Okay, there are three different elements, three dimensions to those who suffer. We had this before, we discussed this before in a different context. Three different elements that suffer in Golus. Who are they? Echad kav yochal ha-shechina shebegolus. The first thing is that the Shechina is in Golus. The pain of the Shechina. Sheni, who said the same thing? I think the Chidah Kemat said the same thing. Sheni was Yisrael ha-ima. Shlishi beis ha-milish. This is exactly what the Chidah said. Al shlosh and oma, we all say, we go together. Al yishayna, hi ha-shechina, bayim rokim esukas dodit. Hi ha-shechina ha-secheches merachefes al-boneha. The first thing to be restored, Yimahus ha-Mashiach, is the Shechina. Asher mizman omois alidei pisha Yehuda pisha Yisrael hoisa ki mascheles lihiyois neifeles the al soif shnei chur bonois neamar oleha nafla, concerning the two different the chur bonois, it says with nafla the cloud they have fallen down v'zeye b'yom keit shehu hascholas hagu'ula ki ostia lo kima miyad. The Shechina will be restored. Af adayin lo tia lo b'chinas binya. So the first thing we have to, it's going very slow. It's similar to what it said in the Chidah. The first item on the list that is in a state of suffering, Golus, is the Shechina. And the Shechina is captured in the term Sukkah. Because Sukkah represents the Tzila Dim Hemnusa, the shade of faith. And it is appropriate to express it in terms of Sukkah. And when the Shechina will return, we use the expression, the Sukkah of David, that's Noifeles, that's fallen, will be restored. But even though the Sukkah has been restored, the Shechina has returned, that's not called the structure. Shechina is something which is spiritual, it's not tangible. Achadayin lo tiyeh lo b'chinas binyan kinei olam. The second thing Hashem is going to do is to restore the nation. There will be sovereignty. There will be covering to the nation. I will restore their breach. Hey, okay, now we turn now to all the way ahead to, where is it? We're all confused over here. Page 377. Oh, it's two smaller lines. Shnei peratzais. Shenasu ba. What are the two peratzais? Shnei kisarim shenidnu bereish kol echad v'yechad miyishrael shuhadi sh'amar hu yisparach v'yato harid edicha me'alecha. V'hu hoadi sh'amar b'shimin bar yuchay b'medrish ha'yizayin v'shem ha'mefarish. It was a Zayin. What a Zayin is, a weapon. The Shem HaMeforish, and the Hashem then was Chokuk, Bo, returned to 378. The Hain Hain Hashnei HaKasham Shekashu B'Rosh Kolechem Yishol Kineged Nasa V'Nishma. The Hain Shnei Oyois Kedoshim Min HaShemayim HaMatidim Oysam B'Nin Tzadikim Yishim B'Atarsem B'Rashem Shein Oyois Zichu Yoseyev. Okay, so this over here is some very, very esoteric. He's saying is that Klal Yishol, it fits together with what we learned last week, is that is the honor, the kavod of Klal Yisrael. He's saying over here is that when Mashiach will come, the way that Klal Yisrael will be restored will be that through the two crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael, they will be restored. What are the two crowns? Naseh v'nishma. Interesting, I went to a Shev Brachos on Shabbos. And he said something amazing. The person who spoke said this, and never heard such a thing. Yeshev Bracha, he spoke Mamash on this Chazal. Mamash, he quoted this Chazal, and he was talking, elaborating, and he said that there was a Shev Bracha, so someone's getting married. He asked the question, is there such a thing as Malachim getting married? Have you such a thing? Is there such a thing as Malachim getting married? Zivugim. Zivugim and Shidduch. You think we have a Shidduch crisis? We have a Shidduch crisis. Can you imagine what's going on in Shabbat? They came down to marry. They wanted to marry. They weren't. There was a shirch crisis in Shemayim, so they came to marry. Something below there. That's why we have a shirch crisis now. Because they took away all the old people.
Well, that's part of the thing of
Ayur Bnei Elokim Espinosu Adam. Exactly what you're saying, right? Generally, is there such a thing in Shemayim as Shidduchim amongst Malachim?
The wife is an angel.
Can't be, because you have to marry the wife.
Maybe Los Angeles is a lady.
Who's the Schwieger? So he says this.
We have Angel and Angeles. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles?
Lady.
Is there? So he said, he quoted this Chazal. The answer is yes. How do you know? Here's the answer. It's an incredible Chazal. Chazal said that when Klal Yisrael, when it says in Chazal, when the Malachim came to give, Klal Yisrael said, Naaseh v'nishma. How many Malachi Hashoris came down from the Shemaim to give purport crowns upon on the head of each person? It says 600,000. 600,000 Malachim came, sets, or 600,000, I'm not sure the word sets, or it says the number is Shishim Wiboy, came to give crowns, and what they gave each person two crowns, Naaseh Nishma. And then, what?
They gave males.
Males, I guess. Ishtar Kigufa. They gave, and then when they worshipped the eagle, came 1,200. 1.2 million. 1.2 million Malachim to take back the crowns. To retrieve the crowns. One, to repossess. Each one took. What's the difference? Why is it that when they came to give, it was only the number 600,000, and when they came to take, it was 1.2 million? The answer is they came as a zivug, a team. Klal Yisrael said Naaseh v'nishma. When Klal Yisrael said Naaseh v'nishma, that created in Shemayim zivugim. There were two malachim, and for each person has a malach of a Naaseh and a malach of nishma, and the malach of Naaseh and the malach of nishma were united in matrimony. A zivug. Two malachim were united as a team. A zivugim, a zivug. Malachim, a zivug. And they as a zivug, as a one unit, a couple, came to give each person the two crowns. When they sinned, that created friction, it created a tumult in Shemayim, there was divorce. And the malachim, we control the malachim, and because we did not adhere to Naaseh and Nishma, so the malachim that were married, the Naaseh malach, married to the Nishma malach, got separated. And now when they came to take their crown, each one came to take a separate crown. So what do you see from this? Derech Agav, there is such a thing as malachim, since the number starts off with Shishim Riboy, and it ends off with 1.2 million, so it goes to show that there is something called a zivug in Shemayim of Malachim. Such a concept of zivugim by Malachim. Now, what is the crown? The crown represents, as we discussed last week, it represents honor. A king wears a crown. Haman wanted to put the Keser Malchus. He was imagining, when he saw that Achashverosh was not very pleased that he made mention of the Keser Malchus, he very quickly said, "No, forget about that. Scratch that from the record. The one that wears the crown is covered." The rebuilding of Klal Yisrael doesn't just mean, oh, we have a nation. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have sovereignty. Okay, you have sovereignty, you have Eretz Yisrael. But one thing we don't have today, we don't have the Keser Malchus. We may have the land, we may have power, we may have nuclear power, we may have the bomb, we may have everything a nation can possibly want and need to survive, but we don't have the respect of the world today. That's clear as day. If the United Nations every other day is issuing a nasty statement, a resolution against Eretz Yisrael, we certainly do not have the Keser Malchus. So when it says here that when Mashiach will come, the erst zach is Shechina. Akim es sukas David hanayfalas. The second inyan is to restore Yisrael. And how does the Mincha Gedolah describe the restoration of Yisrael? In terms of the crowns. What are the crowns? Naaseh v'nishma. Doesn't just mean that we will be observant. It means we'll be really observant. We'll have respect of the world of being a nation of observant Jews. That's the crowns.
It's not for this reason that they came 1,200,000 because they were scared of Adam not to leave them to take the Keter. Therefore, they came a group to be able to take this crown.
They were choite.
They had.
They worshipped the eagle. They lost the. They lost their right to have the crowns, and that's why they were taken away. Let's finish up. I'm on page 378, four lines down the Mincha Gedolah. Keshen oyrei zuchu yoseim aval kinema viatoseim v'lo yomar atorois b'roshehem. I don't even know what all these things mean. These are Kabbalistic concepts that the crowns were broken into parts. V'oseim atoroseim zuchu yos asher echem mehem oyseim choirin. Very esoteric concepts. The two crowns of Naaseh v'Nishma, one crown gives them power to be free from death, and one crown gives them power to be free from the shibud of the Ummah Yisraelim. I have no idea what that means, okay? Obviously. The ornament, Adi means the ornament, was a weapon. V'shem ha-mefayrosh chok bo, and on this weapon Hashem's name was etched. Ki zayin hu inyin cheros, mishivin ma'alchia. This is a very fascinating idea, this idea. When you have a weapon is a symbol of independence. Okay, this touched upon a very fascinating discussion on Shabbos. Are you allowed to wear weapons? Are you allowed to walk in the street with a gun, a holster, a sword? Okay, it's my uniform. It's a malbush. It's a malbush. The weapon is a tool. It's a tool of war. Why, when there is a parade, dressed in all beautiful clothing, you're wearing, you're carrying weapons. You're not going to war now. You're not fighting with anyone now. Why are you wearing the weapons? So he's saying, no, a weapon, it's not just a tool. It's not just a tool of war. A weapon is a badge. It is a symbol of independence. Don't tell me what to do. I have achieved independence, authority. And it's Nogeh Halacha L'maisa on Shabbos. This is a Mishnah Meshech L'Shabbos, and this is what the sugi is about on Shabbos. Even La'asa Lava, the Mar is the question, are you allowed to wear on Shabbos in a Rishus HaRabim D'Oiraisa? Are you allowed to walk out of your home with a weapon, your sword, attached to your body? So if you look at a weapon as a tool of war, no, then it's a tool. You know, I can't go out into the farm with a shovel. It's a Mechil Shabbos. But if you look at a weapon as a symbol, as an ornament, then yes, it's a tachshit. And the Gemara quotes Pesukim, the La'asalavo, they're going to destroy the weapons. They're going to take the weapons and they're going to put the weapons, the sword into the plowshare. Right? They're going to destroy the weapons. So it seems that when Mashiach comes, weapons are going to be nothing. Why is it nothing? Adrabba, when Mashiach will come, the weapon will be the ultimate tachshit, the ultimate ornament to show that Klal Yisrael has achieved independence, has achieved sovereignty over this world. And the Gemara is a give and take. And Echanami, one opinion says that's right. When it says in the past they're going to take the weapons and throw into the plowshares, it means this. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be Chil Shabbos to wear a weapon. So this is a topic of discussion. That's over here. That's exactly...
You cannot carry
the that. That's what he's saying over here. He's saying the Zion is the union of Cheirus. It is a symbol of Cheirus. Mishivu Malchus Shukin Kzayin Linatzel Behem. The Hashem Amafarish Shuhu Remez Lachias Malach Amavus. The Hashem Amafarish means that not only you're free from the suffering, from the oppression of the people of this world, you're free from the Malach Amavus. K'mo Hashem Uzal Kishchoy Malach Amavus Boli Karav Eitzel Moshe Little Nafshach Yamaskish Amafarish Amavrichoy. Very esoteric by Mamre Chazal. Moshe Benu, he was not afraid of the Malach HaMavis. He would say the Shema Mefarosh, and the Malach HaMavis would run away. Hineki Shema Mefarosh Megin the Malach HaMavis. Vehei Meshneach Kesadim Shamar Rabbi Simim Shasak L'Shmoch L'Achzim L'Yisrael L'Asal Lavai. Shenema Ufidu Yashem Yeshuvun Uvol Tzion Brina V'Simchas Oilom Al Roisham. What's the Simchas Olam al Rosham? These are the crowns, the two crowns, Kineged Nasa V'Nishma, Kineged freedom from the Malach HaMoves and freedom from the Shibud Malchios. The Altikun HaShenei Perotsoi Shenasu B'Yisrael HaNizkor Ka'asher Yisnasu Es'edyom, in regard to the restoration of the fencing in of the two breaches, of the two breaches, as Yodim Heim Hashnei Kestodim Shechoyim Lossel Yoimar Po Vigodat Yis Pertzeyen. V'yachar Kach Yisuka Nadover HaShlishi. Then comes the third element, who Abayis Beis Amigdash Asher Neras Bebayis Sheni K'moy She'omru Beichar Abosi Sheshloish Sodim Horas Kolechot Koyselechot. There were three Sodim. Everyone knows this Chazal, that Titois Harasha, he appointed really four officers. Each one was given the task to demolish one of the four walls of the Har Habayis. Three succeeded, and the fourth one was unable to succeed. And when he was put to task, he was called, why did you not do the job? So he fumbled and he said, oh, you know why? We left it in your honor. So people should see what a mighty conquest. There should be a zecher. So Tito said to him, you said very good, and you outsmarted me. And the rule is, if you outsmart the king, you have to die. But I'll tell you what, when we have a rule that you outsmart the king, you have to die. It doesn't mean you have to die. You have to go through the motions of dying. So we'll throw you off the roof. If you'll live, you'll live. If you'll die, you'll die. They threw him off the roof. It did not go well from here for him. And indeed, he died. So there it says, there was shleisha sarim horas, kol echad, kosel echad. Shemizrach tzafayin and darayim al ze omar vaharisay savakim. It's referring to the three walls of the Har Habayis that will be restored. The oz sheyisuknu shloishes hadvarim shahim shchina v'yishol beis hamigdash sheyachzru b'mehira v'yameinu. Amen. Everything will be restored. Mashiach will come. Okay, so I believe this concludes Baruch Hashem. We have concluded Shevach Lekel Elyon. We have concluded Sefer Amos. Nu, Abayisai, all we can say is that Amos, he should, in Shemayim, wherever he is, he should be Melamed Chusanos. We spent quite a while, a long time. We have not ever learned something with such depth. All these years, for some reason, we got very slow in learning the Pesuk. We've really gone through this Mama Shmila Manila, and that Tzchus Amos should be a Megan and an advocate for every single person here to bring for them whatever they need, Yeshuas and Nechamas and Simcha and Bracha, and all of their Yonim and to them and their extended family, and V'chol Hanil Molav. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.